our Wednesday service that we titled Problems Are. We're going to close this series out tonight. And we've been on this for a couple of months now, and God's really been teaching us that problems, they're not really, we always focus on the problem, but there's so much more to our problem than the problem, right? Problems are reminders that we need God's help, first of all. They're obstacles, but obstacles can be overcome. They're blessings in disguise sometimes, right? Sometimes they're in disguise, but they're blessings. They're lessons if we choose to learn from them. Problems are everywhere, but problems are also messages. They're also solvable, and that's the biggest thing. You know, whatever problem you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever challenge that you may be in the midst of right now, if you have the right attitude, and that's what God's been teaching us, we can overcome that thing. And not only overcome it, but we can come out way on top, and we can get everything we need to be able to help other people to overcome whatever they're facing. We talked about our perspective, our priorities, staying on the right path. And over the past few weeks, we've really been looking at four things that help us as we're going through our problem, our obstacle. And we were looking at passion, how we need to keep our passion. How many know that's important, to be passionate for the right things? You can be passionate for the wrong things, but you need to be passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be passionate for the Great Commission. You need to be passionate about being a disciple. Come on, somebody. It's really important that we stay passionate for the right things. Don't get caught up in the rat race, so to speak, and get focused on the wrong things. We need patience. How many know patience is great, especially in a trial? Patience is just good because you're going to have to wait. All right? A lot of your life is waiting. Come on, somebody. It really is. We talked about peace. And tonight we're going to talk about persistence, but I really want to kind of leave off where we got to last week and just talk a little bit more about peace. Because listen, as we get into persistence tonight, we have to realize that if you're going to have true peace, you've got to learn to be persistent. And so we're going to start off picking up where we did last week with peace. Philippians 4:6, read with me if you will. Be anxious for nothing. We just stopped there a minute. Remember we talked about patience? That was one of our points. But here it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, say everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight that your peace is what we're seeking. Tonight, Father, help us to realize that to walk in your peace, we've got to live persistent, consistent lives. Tonight, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do what I cannot do, that you would minister to each person individually where they're at. Give us the word that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. But see, peace can be lost when life accumulates. How many know? If you just let life accumulate on you, you will lose your peace. You have got to be proactive, we'll just say, if you're going to live in peace. And it really comes from not being anxious, but praying and being thankful. I tell you, being thankful, you may hear a lot about that, but I'm going to tell you, I think I run into so many people, Christians even, that are some of the most unthankful people I've ever met. I mean, seriously. I mean, you travel to other nations, and it's ridiculous. You see people that have, I mean, a smidgen, if that is a word, we'll just use it tonight, a smidgen of what we have, yet they are thankful for what they have and willing to share it. If you go, see, us in this country, we're not willing to share anything. It's just the culture. We're very unthankful, greedy people. Now, I know that's not you. This is the Wednesday group. That doesn't apply to you. But surely you know someone you can pray for, right? But being thankful, not being anxious, living a life of prayer. Now, we're going to start a series this Sunday on prayer. The disciples came to Jesus, and of all the things that the disciples could ask Jesus, they could have said, well, Lord, teach us how to heal, teach us how to do that. And, of course, Jesus did those things and discipled them and endued them with power and all that. But the one thing that's recorded, they came and said, teach us to pray. That's what they said. Teach us to pray. And so Jesus did. So prayer is important. You and I should be living a life seriously. We should be in constant communication with the Lord. But beyond that, we should be used to taking solitude, times where we're alone with the Lord on a daily, say daily, basis where we're coming to him and we're really giving him our burdens, giving him our anxieties, and then taking up the word of God as our weapons and being able to fulfill what he's called us to do. But peace is so important. I think peace is lost when our heart grows unthankful. Prayer and worship should be something that's an all-day event, and really worry and rest cannot coexist. I believe that as Christians, if we would pray as much as we worried and griped, we wouldn't worry and gripe anymore. Hello. I'll say it again. It's a bigger group over here, but I'll start here tonight. If we didn't worry and gripe, or if we prayed as much as we worried and gripe, we wouldn't worry and gripe as much. And they said, okay, you guys got it. All right. But, you know, if we would just take that time and just take the time to get into God's Word and realize all the things that He's given to us, we'd be able to live a life where we would pray in everything. Three things I want to leave you with that are going to help you with peace, and then we'll move into persistence tonight. Number one, you need to pray in everything. Say everything. We just saw it in Philippians 4:6, but also in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, I love this scripture because people say, well, I don't know the will of God for my life. To be thankful. To pray in everything. There's God's will. And you know, if you would, oh, this is so good. If you would live that way, you wouldn't wonder what God's will was. Hello? It's the truth. If we were thankful and prayed in everything, we would know God's will for our lives. And His will is that we would be one, even as Him and Jesus were one. John chapter 17, you read it. And the key really to having peace, having an effective prayer life, is really being settled in Him. Say in Him. And learning that, look, when I live a life of prayer, things may not always work out immediately in my life, so I can't be anxious. I need to have peace. I need to have patience. But I'm going to be so satisfied with the presence of God that those things don't matter. They're just kind of peripheral. How many are with me tonight? Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't answer our prayers, because the Bible tells us that when we pray according to His will, He does. So our prayers get answered, and I don't want to preach too much of Sunday's message here, but I couldn't help but put it in because the points are the same. Don't stop seeking Father God. Don't forget the covenant that you and I have with Him. Fulfill your part, and you won't worry about God fulfilling His part. It's the truth. Well, God, why didn't you do this? Or God, why didn't you do that? I've heard people do that so much. And we've all probably said something like that at some time or another. But you know, if we would just do our part and just seek Him and rest in Him, we wouldn't worry about God doing His part, because He'd be meeting our needs, first of all, because His presence would be rich in our lives. And then even if things don't change at the speed or rate that we want them to, we've got His peace. We've got His comfort. Matter of fact, if you're worrying about God doing His part, you're not doing your part, which is believing and applying your faith. So we got to pray in everything. Number two, we got to pray always. Say always.
Always.
He says, watch therefore and pray always. See, you need to make your request and then rest. Say, I make my request and rest. Say, I make my request and rest. And that's really, we need to live that way. And really, I think prayer without rest, without coming to God, looking at the Scripture, saying, Lord, I thank You, for instance, that You meet all my needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And now I rest in that. Therefore, I'm not going to worry about any lack in my life. And you move on. That is a life that God will bless. Because we're not anxious for anything, but in prayer and supplication, we're making our desires known to God. God is hearing our prayer. We're giving. We're tithing. We're living the life that God teaches us to live. We're reaching out to people. We're involved in church. We're giving of our time, our treasure, our talents. We're involved in a small group of some kind. We're living our lives in the rhythm of life, which is taking time. You know, it's like this. So many people, I've probably said it before, but I have to say it because we need to get this. It's like the old Loverboy song. Everybody's working for the weekend. I got a pair of those red leather pants, by the way. No, I'm just... Oh, my goodness, I just destroyed somebody's night. It's funny, you know, back in the day, honestly, we thought that was good music. I hear it now and I go, the mix is like, whatever. But you know what we do is we work to rest. Thank God it's Friday. Come on, somebody, right? We need to get in a habit of resting to work. If you would rest to work, you and I would rest to work rather than working to rest, we'd have a lot more rest and we wouldn't have to work as hard and we'd get a whole lot more done. Because now our lives would be flowing out of the rhythm that God has for us, which is coming to Him first. Seek the kingdom of heaven first and all these things. I'm telling you, folks, it works. say, well, Pastor, I tried it. Don't say that. Don't. Listen, okay, everybody attention on me. If you would say, Pastor, I tried that and it didn't work, you didn't try it because it didn't work. It's true. You say, Pastor, you mean every time you pray, you get your answer? Well, not my answer. Certainly not in my time. But the answer I do get is I get his presence. Because I'll seek him, and I'll be satisfied with that. How many have ever, if you've lived this way, you know you've had things that are just kind of going along, and all of a sudden, a need just gets met. Or maybe you get a sum of money that just came out of nowhere. Yeah, right. Okay. Or something, you know, whatever. And it's kind of like, oh, you even forgot about, oh, that's right. I asked over here, and the Holy Spirit will bring that to remembrance. I know that kind of shoots some of our teaching right in the foot, but I'm going to tell you what, I see nowhere in Scripture that Jesus lived an anxious life where he had to get over here and had to get here, had to do this, had to do that. I mean, you look at the examples in Jesus, even when his friend Lazarus was dead, he said, I think we'll wait 4 days. What? He shows up, they say, well, you don't want to go in there. It's 4 days. He stinks. Wow. You know, be anxious for nothing. You need to pray in everything. We need to pray always, and we need to pray everywhere. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and what? Without doubting. And we'll talk more about these points in our series that's coming up, but I already had these in my notes before I even planned the other series. I thought I better just throw it in. I was going to skip over it. But this will set us up for Sunday. So if you can make it Sunday, we're going to talk more about that. But the thing is, we need to learn to pray everywhere without wrath, without doubt. All right? Now, we can get mad at God sometimes. All right? God can handle your anger. But don't live there. Get rid of it. And then just start to thank God that he's so good and he never forgets his covenant with you. And we'll talk more about that. But you and I, to stay in peace, we have got to have persistent lives. And persistence is not something that happens overnight, but over the long haul. Persistence is not something that happens overnight, but it's something that happens over the long haul. This is going to take your life. Listen, the life that God has for you is a lifelong adventure. All right? It really is. Matter of fact, the plans and the purposes and the attacks that the enemy has planned for you is a lifelong attack. Because that's one thing. The devil's patient. If he can just get us off course in one little area, the end of our life will be messed up. It's true. But you know, if you and I would just stay on course in the Lord, we may not see a lot at first, but if you're on the right course, year after year after year after year after year, after a year, I keep reading my Bible program, memorizing Scripture, praying, getting involved in a relate group, being a light where I am, praying, 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 seeking God, seeking God. I'm telling you, you do that and your life will constantly bear fruit. Okay, well, it'll be like, you can look back on your life. I was just talking with a friend of mine this weekend, and we were just talking about things we've been able to see God do in this church together, and he was just, and we're just saying, we could see the growth that we've seen in each other over the years, and it's just a blessing, isn't it? Isn't it when you live that way that you can see? And listen, if you haven't seen that kind of growth in your life, it's okay. Just start to do some things differently. Put God first. If you put God first, listen, if you put God first, your life will progressively get better and better and better and better. Your peace will grow. Your anxiety will start to go away. If you do this, okay, but you can't quit. It needs to be persistence. Persistence is not something that happens overnight, but over the long haul. 2 Corinthians 4:8. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Matter of fact, in the New Living Testament, where it says struck down but not destroyed, it says we get knocked down, but we get up again. You know, no matter what we're going through, as a Christian, we should allow this scripture to take place. No matter what it is, hard-pressed on every side, not crushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that important? You need to die to yourself. You need to die to your selfish will. It's true. It's true. God has something for your life. Matter of fact, God has, you know that you're the only you that will ever live. Now, we all know that, but that I'll tell you, that is something great in that. There is something great in that. You are an original. Say, I am an original. You are. There'll never be another you. Listen carefully. Only you can worship God the way you can worship God. He's always calling. We just don't answer. But the thing is, we can only, and your life should be worship, whatever you do. That's why it's important to get a hold of the will of God, to get in the right trade, to get in the right occupation. Why would you want to spend your whole life miserable? You'd be better off on the front end of your life taking the right preparation, right training, maybe even a little less money or whatever it might be, making it a little rougher on the front end so that the rest of your life into the end is enjoyable. Well, we got some younger ones in here today, but even those of us who are halfway through our lives, listen, you need to enjoy what you're doing because you're going to do it the rest of your life. Take time to get a hold of the will of God when you're young, because I'll tell you, and anybody in this room that has ministered to anybody or even known anybody that's in their 50s, 60s, and beyond, you know that you know people that went to school, studied hard, worked, started businesses, got into occupations, built houses, had all this stuff, the boat, the yacht, great vacations. And they're 50, 60, 70 years old, and they're like, what in the world was my life? Because that's not life. That stuff is not life. Life is what you were made to do so that you can live a life of worship for the Lord. Now, I know that's not in my notes, but that's the next series we're going to start after the next series. But listen, you can't learn what I'm just talking about until you learn how to pray. Because if you don't know how to pray, you won't find out the will of God. So we got to take it in steps, but you'll get little tidbits like that. It's true. You have got to take time to do what you're supposed to do, what you're gifted to do, what you enjoy. Whatever it is that you would do for free, you figure out a way to make money doing that. God, that's what you're created for. And you'll make so much money that you'll be a blessing to everybody you come around. And if you're in the wrong thing now, change. You can change. It's okay. It's all right. Say, well, how would I? I don't know. Maybe sell a car, sell a boat, sell the house, downsize. I don't know. We think we can't do those things because, that's not what life is, folks. We got to get out of this American nightmare mentality. The American nightmare really stops us from fulfilling the will of God. You know? I know. Ain't that America? You and me. Little pink houses. Okay. But you know, we shouldn't be afraid of those. We should rearrange our lives to get a hold of the will of God, to be able to do what he made us to do so that we can worship God our whole lives. Because when we worship God our whole life will be fruitful. I mean, can you imagine an orange tree all its life trying to be an apple tree? That's the concept. How frustrating is that? It's like, well, they look like apples. They're the wrong color. And they're really soft. Right? Imagine biting into an apple that tastes like an orange. But you know what? That's what a lot of people get from people who are not living the life they're supposed to live. Yikes. Don't quit. Let's get back to tonight's message. We are struck down but not destroyed. Listen, we need persistence, and we cannot give up no matter what we're doing, no matter where you are in this process, no matter where you are in this journey right now that you're on. Stay persistent with the things that matter. Read your Bible. Pray. Stay involved. Everything we've already said. I want to read a quote here from Charles Spurgeon. He says, "Tell me where you lost the company of Christ, and I will tell you the most likely place you'll find him. Have you lost Christ in the closet by restraining prayer? Then it's there you must seek and find him. Did you lose Christ by sin? You will find Christ in no other way but by giving up of the sin and seeking by the Holy Spirit to mortify the member in which the lust doth dwell. Did you lose Christ by neglecting the Scriptures? You must find Christ in the Scriptures. Look for the thing where you dropped it. It is there." Isn't that, that's some wisdom. That's some wisdom. You and I need to learn how to get back on track. If things aren't working right in our lives, we got to get back on track. Get back on track. We need to stay persistent with the things. Something's happening. It's 8 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? All right. How many remember those commercials? Yeah. You and I must stay persistent in the things that we speak. Persistent in the things we speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. "And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." Faith speaks God's word. What are you speaking? We should be speaking the word of God regularly. All right? You can speak without believing, but you can't believe without speaking. What are you saying? Matter of fact, listen carefully. What you think about is what you believe. What you're meditating on is how you form your belief system. What you believe is what you speak. And that circle just kind of goes around. Just like this. Just like this. See, if somebody said you're never going to amount to anything, you've heard this before, you're going to believe that. Somebody said you're stupid, you're dumb, whatever. Sometimes we speak those things over ourselves. Oh, I'll never make it. Oh, I'll never have any money. All those kinds of things. And we start to believe that. Maybe there was something that happened in our life where we were given a false identity. And now that thing's attached itself to us. We need the word of God that says, "Behold, in Christ Jesus, old things pass away. All things become new." That dead man is buried. Jesus is making us new. Persistence is not something that happens overnight. It's something over the long haul. Joshua 14:7. I want to share a story here with you that will teach us what persistence is all about. He says, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart." I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. All right? Your mouth speaks what's in your heart. First thing that comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. Right? Aren't you thankful God can do heart surgery? "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Do you see that? How words can either build us up or tear us down. Do you see that? "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." So here's the story. Most of us may know this, but I want, for those of us who don't know, children of Israel have been in bondage. God raises up Moses as a deliverer to take them out of Egypt. They're now out of Egypt. They're about to come into the promised land. Moses sends out spies to be able to spy out the land, all right? Most of them come back with a bad report. Two have a good report, and that's Caleb and Joshua, all right? And this is what we're reading tonight is about Caleb, because they had a different heart. They followed the Lord completely. See, Caleb knew how to stand in the face of adversity. To be persistent, you may have to go against the flow of whatever everybody else is doing. I mean, I know, I'm just going to take one example, and this may or may not apply to somebody. But even like men's breakfast, let's say, we say, "Gosh, I don't know, you know." This is for those who could make it, okay, who could make it but say, "Man, I can't get up early at one day, and I just," okay, now, really, could be around some guys helping to build you up, and you can't give up an hour of sleep or whatever it is. Okay, if that's your excuse, okay. Well, we can't go to a Relate group. Remember, I don't know if you're here Sunday, we showed a little clip of a couple people. We'll have another one this Sunday. But I remember Tim for it. And he said, boy, when I started this, I didn't want to go. I don't remember he heard that. He said, I did not. I'm glad for his honesty. He said, but you know, after we went, I started to. Here's the thing. If you will make yourself do things that will change your life will change. Get around some people that are living the way that you want to live, and you'll start to live that way. But it's going to cost you something. To be persistent, you may have to go against the flow of what's easy, what people say is convenient to do. Anyone can take the easier or the popular way. Persistence is in the habit of seeing the purpose, not the problem. Seeing that God has a purpose for my life and not looking at the problem. Matter of fact, read with me. I don't have this in my notes, but I think we can look it up. Numbers chapter 13. If you can find that, Aaron. Numbers 13. And I'm going to read out of the New King James Version in all of these. And I'll give you a few verses at a time. But Numbers 13, this is more of the same story here. Numbers 13. We'll start reading in verse 17. Numbers 13, 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. A cluster of grapes carried between two men on a pole. Say, wow. Wow. And you look at Israel today. Israel is the most productive, self-efficient country in the world. And I'm not going to get into all that. But I'm going to tell you, God's people are blessed. Amen? All right, verse 27. Then they told them, he said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Here's the negative spies. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in that land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. All right. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So you see the two different reports there. They were looking at the same situation, but they saw a different scenario. Do you see that? So you can take a look at what you're facing now. It can be a problem, or it can be a purpose that God wants to work in your life for greatness. Matter of fact, you see this here. Maybe you heard this said. This is a glass of water. People say that a pessimist will say that it's what? Half empty. And an optimist says what? It's half full, all right? But then some people say that, you know, I'm an opportunist. But tonight, I'm going to say, I'm a Christian. So I say, thank you, God, for this water. Now, some of you didn't get that. It doesn't matter if it's half full or half empty. If God put it in front of you, take it. Drink it. Believe God for good things. Believe God that you are going to be blessed. Mark 11, 22, Jesus said this, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. The question tonight is, do you believe that God is a rewarder? What are you saying about your situation? Are you reciting the problem, or are you reciting God's word, God's promises, which are yes and amen through Christ Jesus? Joshua 14, 12. Let's go back to our story. Now, therefore, Caleb says, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified, it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I'll be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. See, persistence will take the mountain. Persistence will take what God puts in front of us for the kingdom of heaven. Persistence tears down the walls that you've got in life. Persistence is grounded in the word of God. Persistence will drive out the opposition. And you see that in the life of Caleb. Let me just say this, a little side note. I want to read this. I just jotted this down as I was meditating on these scriptures. You had better believe that God has nothing but good things for your life. You need to settle that right now. I'm not talking, you may not be having the American dream the way you think it should be. I'm not talking, you have got to believe that God has the best plan for your life possible. Possible. All right? In fact, we just looked at the other night, we were at our home with some friends looking at some scriptures out of Jeremiah 29 where it says, the plans I have for you are for good and not evil. We find those things out when we seek God. And find him when we seek him with all of our heart. But see, you and I have got to be willing to be able to live that way, the way the Bible teaches us, to be persistent. We've got to believe that God has nothing but good things for my life. Because if we start to get down in negative and kicking the sand and walking around with our head down and reciting the problem and reciting the problem and reciting the problem and reciting the problem, I've even seen people do this. They'll have a problem in their lives, and they'll live here for a little while, and things won't work out, and the thing doesn't change in their lives, and so then we move over here, and it doesn't change. So then we move over here, and it doesn't change. So then we move over here, and it doesn't. I've seen so many people relocate themselves because people say, well, what you need is just a relocation. People say that. Well, you just need a different some different scenery. That won't change you. Well, for a little while, you know, I mean, in the middle of winter, it's nice to get to Florida or California. Come on, somebody. But that won't change your problem. That's like smoking crack. Only you're moving your life around. And you know what the problem is? When you move, you take your problem with you because you're the problem. Yeah. It's not everybody else. If everybody else is your problem, there's one common denominator there, and it's you. All right, there you go. You and I need to believe that God is granting us favor so much that other people take note. Now, I'm not saying you have to have the biggest house in your neighborhood, but God is blessing your life so much with favor that people are like, what is with that person? I see him coming here every day, and there's something different with that person. Are you with me tonight? If that's not you, change it. How do you change it? You get a hold of God. Because God can do this. How do you get a hold of God? You get a Bible reading plan. You meditate on the scriptures. You get involved in a relate group. You take notes at church. You take those notes home, and you read it over, and you read it over, and you read it over, and you pray, and you seek, and you fast, and you speak the word. Come on, somebody. This works. This is how it works. This is how life works. Well, I tried that, and it didn't work. No, you didn't try it because it didn't work. Just being honest with you because I love you. In fact, if your life is not causing others to take note, it's time to change what you believe. And you can change what you believe by looking at God's word. Just before we dismiss tonight, I want to give you a few principles for persistence, and you can take these home, meditate on them, because I really wanted to finish this series tonight so we can start something new next week. Principles for persistence. This will help you. Number one, God's word. If you want to live a persistent life that continues to create an environment of peace in your life, you have got to be a person that is living a life centered around God's word. Don't put buts and ifs in there. You can't. It's got to be the word. All right? You know, if you don't feel good, don't pretend you don't feel good. Say, I'm not feeling good. Pray with me. Jesus, by your stripes, I am healed. I have a need financially. But Lord, I thank you that because I have honored you with my money and I have lived the way you say to live, I know that you're meeting my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says the young lions suffer hunger and want, but those who wait upon the Lord shall lack no good thing. The Bible says I was young and now I'm not as young as I used to be. And I have not seen the children of God begging bread or going hungry. Come on, somebody. So you don't deny that you have a challenge, but you start to say what the answer is. All right, you start to say what the answer is. You don't say, well, no, I have all the money that I need. Well, you may not have all the money you need, but God's word says that you do. And God's word will produce a harvest in your life. Joshua 14:6, our story. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea." Do you see? He says, "You know the word that was spoken to me." The Bible tells us the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God has met all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He has given us all things that pertain to godliness through his son, Jesus Christ. So number one, you've got to be a person of God's word. Number two, you need to believe in God's reward. Joshua 14:9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." Isaiah 54, it says that your children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of your children. God is a rewarder, not just to you, but to your children and your children's children and your children's 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 children. You need to believe that, and you need to speak that now. Speak it over your kids. God is a rewarder. Say, rewarder. You got to believe that. You have to. No matter what, if you do nothing but Hebrews 11:6, you can write that down, and we may even have it in our notes. Yeah, we do. Let's read it. It's next. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you do nothing but take that scripture and meditate on that for the next year, I guarantee you, you will get up every day and start to expect God to reward you. And guess what? You'll be rewarded. Because you'll start to have a life of peace because you're persistently doing this. You're not getting up, "Oh gosh, another day. I got to get up again. Oh, I wish my circumstance would change." Well, it won't, because you haven't changed. You were the problem all along. And you didn't let the word of God change you. Say, I can change. Look at the person next to you. Say, no, look back up here. Say, I? No, just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. We can all change, right? We can. Okay, look at the person next to you. Say, you need to change. All right. All right. What do you believe? Principles for persistence, God's word, God's reward, God's ability. Joshua 14:11. "As yet I am strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, is now my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." I love this story. 85 years old, and this guy's still swinging a hatchet, baby. 85. He said, "Come on, give me that mountain." Who says you can't have a long, fruitful life? Who says you can't be working and prospering and blessing others in your 70s, your 80s, your 90s, your 100s? Who says? Who says you can't? And somebody says, "Well, this body's saying I can't." Well, oh my goodness, I can't. I'll get diverted. I don't care what your body says. Start to speak to your body. Now, it's wise to eat right and to exercise and all that, but you better speak to your body. You better speak to it. "I command you to live and not die. I command you to line up with the word of God that says he'll give me long life. He'll satisfy me." Why? Because I've set my love upon the Lord. Psalm 91. Read Psalm 91. It's 9-11 today. Psalm 91. That's your 911 for spiritual things, right? God's ability, Joshua 14, we already read that. You need persistence yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hebrews 13:8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Next one, God's timing. God's timing. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old." We need patience and persistence to be satisfied with God's timing. Come on, somebody. And if you want peace, you got to live. I mean, look at this. 45 years from the time the promise was given till the time he inherited it and he inherited at 85. And because he lived this way and trusted God and believed God and served and lived for God and had a positive attitude, at 85 years old, he said, give me that mountain. This will change your life. This will change your life. Next, God's presence, 14:12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in the day of how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be, say, the Lord will be with me. You've got to believe that tonight, and I'll be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. God's presence needs to be consistent. Are you conscious of God's presence? Are you aware of the fact that Jesus lives on the inside of you? Are you aware of the fact that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Are you aware of the fact, no matter what you face, that you are more than a conqueror? And then finally, God's blessing. Verse 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had what? Rest from war. Listen, when you live this way, your life is going to be full of peace. Persistence feeds peace. Peace and persistence work together. You need passion. You need patience. And if you and I would live that way, I don't care what problem you're going through, you are going to have God results. You're going to live a kingdom life. Not only are you going to be blessed, but people in your life are going to be blessed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your word and your promises make us rich, Lord, and you add no sorrow with it. Tonight, I ask you to encourage every person in whatever obstacle they're facing, whatever problem is in their lives right now. I thank you, Lord, that they are well able to overtake it. Now, Father, I thank you that tonight, let's just wait a minute, the Lord's ministering. Somebody just said, was that you, Lord, or was that just me? That was the Lord. Hear his voice. Trust his voice. Amen. Well, I'm done. If you need prayer for anything, I encourage you to find somebody to pray with. Get involved in the life.